Stories about new services and technology or health and safety problems are regular fare on nightly television news programs. The story about the dangers of online banking is unremarkable in every way.
Online banking offers convenience and access like never before, but many consumers are still hesitant to use online banking for fear of losing their money, or worse, their identity. Take Richard and Rika Sato, who are expecting their first child.
I feel like I'll be personally attacked, or that my information will be duplicated and someone will be creating crimes under my name.
Rika is not alone. According to a
Well, that news report is unremarkable because it sounds like a news report. Actually, though, it's a video news release from a public relations firm working for a digital security company. The Federal Communications Commission really recently moved to crack down on TV stations that air these stories without properly identifying them. Joining us here in Studio 3A to talk about it is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, nice to have you with us.
Great to see you.
This investigation tied to a report by the Center for Media and Democracy. What did it find?
Well, it tracked some of these video news releases that are put out essentially by public relations firms on behalf of corporate clients. They're done in the format of a typical television news story, and darned if they don't show up on local stations across the country just like that, sometimes voiced over, sometimes little clips taken, sometimes the whole thing run verbatim, sometimes not even troubling to substitute one of the local station's anchors or reporters for the PR person's voice themselves.
And why would a local television news station use this?
Well, local stations, you can argue they're either ignorant, lazy, or strapped. Right now, local stations are expected to make profit margins of about 40% to 55%, which are extraordinary by any other industry standard. It means that you have fairly limited news staffs. These are available through multiple channels. You can get it off satellite feeds. You can get it now through the web very conveniently. And they're done in a way where they tend to look a lot like news stories. Sometimes they see video footage that can be helpful if it's just tablets going into little medicine bottles. Sometimes the story is about the medicine itself, and they often take an approach which is awfully sympathetic to the manufacturer of that medicine.
Now, I assume there's nothing wrong with the companies generating a video news release, but they would be shocked if those ended up being used on news programs.
They wouldn't be shocked at all. They'd say that they have information which is valuable and that the journalists have separately affirmed the opinion that that information is of use to the to the viewers. They say, look, if stations feel this is useful information, let's pass it along. After all, they say, we're not lying or misrepresenting. We're providing this flow of knowledge. You know, in addition, to be fair to local stations, they can't be expected to be everywhere, not only in the world, but in their state, in their region. These guys can provide access videotape that would be very expensive to hire people to go get on their own.
Well, also with us here in Studio 3A is FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein, and it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
What are the penalties? What's wrong with airing these news releases from corporations?
Well, under the law and the rules that the FCC has put in place, there's nothing wrong with it so long as the viewer is told that it is, in fact, being produced by somebody other than the news outlet. It's being produced by a company so that the viewer can make up their own mind about the quality of information being presented.
So as long as it's properly labeled, no problem.
As far as we're concerned, I mean, viewers can make up their own mind about it. I think the reason it isn't often disclosed is that it's embarrassing to the news outlet that they're, in fact, giving their outlet over to a commercial interest for whatever reason.
Now, the FCC has mailed letters to 77 stations to inquire about how they've been using video news releases. First of all, how did you find out which 77 stations to write to?
Those 77 stations are based on a complaint from the Center for Media and Democracy. We basically tracked all of the allegations in the complaint, and we're asking broadcasters to respond. For example, did they disclose this? There's no indication they did, but we'd like to give them an opportunity to respond.
And what you would expect a tape back saying, and here's a somebody, in other words, that would be proof if they identified the source of it, a tape of the newscast saying this was properly identified. You'd say, thanks very much, no problem.
That's right. We'd be done with it if they disclosed it.
And what's going to come of this investigation? What kinds of fines or penalties are involved?
Well, if we do, in fact, find violations of our sponsorship ID rules, the penalties can include fines of up to $32,000. Per incident. It can include revocation of the license of a station. And in fact, some of these violations are also criminal acts, which under the law can be prosecuted by the Justice Department and result in up to a year in jail.
Under what crime would this be?
This is a violation of Section 507 of the Communications Act, which is basically the Paola rules. This is like the old Paola scandals that we heard about in the 50s and 60s. Somebody's being paid to put something on the air. The Congress passed a law saying if you don't say that that's what's going on to the public, if that's not disclosed, that's a criminal act as well as a violation of FCC rules.
Well, presumably, in this case, they're just taking this stuff for free and using it. The payment would be this is equivalent to an advertisement?
Well, the payment also can be anywhere up or down the chain of production. Under 507, the requirement is that if you're paid along the line, for example, if I was paid today by a cereal company and I say something really nice on the air about what a great cereal, sugar cereal is, then I have to disclose that to NPR, who in turn is obligated to disclose that to the public. I would be responsible for a criminal act if I didn't disclose that I was paid for that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein and with David Folkenflik, who's NPR's media correspondent. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
One of the interesting things about this is that, what the commissioner says suggests the question of the chain of possession. After all, these things are created by publicity firms on behalf of corporate clients. They're then distributed. They're taken and often distributed by different arms of very familiar media brands. That is CBS, CNN, I believe AP, ABC. They sort of load these up, call it to the satellite or to the web, and then they're downloaded by local stations. There can be significant chunks or taken entire, these video news releases, as though they're stories. Local stations may or may not know exactly where they were gotten from, but see the imprimatur of these distributors or even of other stations that have made stories out of them and then re-uploaded it to these various channels. So the stations can say, hey, I had no idea that that was actually taken from a VNR. Mm-hmm. It's a little confusing. It suggests that this is rife and that really the extent of this is unknown.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller on the line. This is Stephen. Stephen is calling us from Tillamook in Oregon.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We're afternoon here in Washington, but go ahead.
One of the things that I've discovered is that it's happening on radio as well, and where I've noticed it most is with Paul Harvey in his noon news and comment, that oftentimes he will be reading the news, but then he starts reading an advertisement for one of the products that he promotes.
And that's sort of a blurring of the line, you think?
Very much so. And then what happens at our own local radio station, one of the news reporters happens to work for the local PUD as a board member, and she will do public service information from the PUD and roll between the news and the public service information.
PUD is the Public Utilities Department?
Public Utility District. And uh-huh. So we'll be hearing news, and then there'll be some information coming across about the PUD. And where does the news break, and where does the public service information begin?
Good questions. Jonathan Adelstein, is this something that the FCC would be interested in investigating?
It's a concern that I've raised in the past, that there often is this blurring between what's advertising and what's sort of the talk. You sometimes hear a disc jockey in the morning talking about how great the shaving cream he used that morning was, mm-hmm. or whatever he's talking about. And you wonder, did he really like that shaving cream, or is he saying that because somebody paid him to do it? Mm-hmm. And if so, again, there's a requirement under the law that he disclose it. My recommendation is if people do hear incidents like that, they really, if they are willing to, need to complain directly to the FCC to make sure that a formal complaint is filed. You don't need a lawyer or anything. Just let us know about it. Let us know the time. Let us know the call letters, and we will investigate.
I need to ask you that the last time this subject came up, and it was a couple of years ago, these weren't corporate video news releases. These were government video news releases that were being sent out and not being identified by television news stations.
That's right. We're now investigating some of those cases, but in the meantime, the Congress has passed a law that requires when the government does a video news release that it has to put a disclosure on the entire news release mm-hmm. so that that can be viewed by the public.
We've recently seen, David, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, the industry stance is that these are isolated incidents and, in fact, expresses certain degrees of qualms about new regulation and new government interference. They say, look, we happen to be broadcast journalists. Why should we be more greatly regulated than, for argument's sake, print journalists who are sort of unfettered by government regulation? It's a point. I will say the president of the Radio Television News Directors Association, when testifying about the very issue that you're talking about, the government VNRs and use of government clips, said that in her survey of news managers, they found actually it was far more prevalent, very rare government, far more prevalent with corporate VNRs, which suggests that that's it's things are more rife.
Mm-hmm. We just have a few seconds left, Jonathan Adelstein. But is the are the fines involved here? Are they substantial, like the obscenity fines, which Congress recently increased to $335,000 per incident?
Well, Congress increased the fines only for indecency. They did not increase the fines for payola violations. I wish they'd done an increase in the fines for both.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jonathan Adelstein, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Jonathan Adelstein is a commissioner of the Federal Communications Commission. He joined us here in Studio 3A. David Folkenflik was also here. He's NPR's media correspondent. He has to be here. We pay him for it. Thanks very much. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.